Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a rich morning already, hearing the word of God and the worship. It's good to be back here with you all. We were gone last week, all week. We were to North Carolina there, the MTS, and we had a very blessed week of just with men and women who were hungry and wanting to learn, and we had a blessed week of just ministering to a lot of souls, a lot of lost souls. We sang that song about reaching the lost this morning. I was blessed by that song, and just thought I'd give you a quick overview of our week. We were around 22, 23 people all week participating, and in the mornings it was time spent in prayer and teaching each morning on different topics, different subjects, and then in the afternoon we would go out. And so Monday afternoon we went to UNC Charlotte and had a blessed day there, and Tuesday morning again, and then Tuesday afternoon we went back to UNC Charlotte and had a very blessed day. Just a lot of conversations. You know, you can imagine there's 20-some of us there, and everybody was busy ministering the gospel, and it was a blessing. And then on Wednesday, we went, in the morning, we had our morning session again, and then we went to the mall and did one-on-one, in approaching people, teaching people how to do one-on-one, just engaging. So it was not just a time of teaching, but hands-on. And then the evening, we went to a Catholic mass, sat in on that just for education for the students that were there. And then on Thursday morning, we had our session again, and then we went door knocking, divided up in groups, a couple in a group, went knocking on doors and talking to people, ministering the gospel. And then the evening we went to a Kingdom Hall JW service. And so there's one thing I learned there, thought I'd share it. They were very friendly and welcoming to visitors. You know, everyone that came in, they came up to you right down the line, all 20 of us, you know, welcome, thank you. Thank you for being here. And so we can learn something from them in their making visitors welcome. So I welcome all you visitors this morning. Thank you for being here. But it was a blessing just to experience that. Even though there's, their doctrine isn't sound. And then Friday morning, we had our session. Then we went to a Muslim mosque, spent the afternoon at a mosque, talking to people there. They were also friendly, welcomed us, fed us, and then Friday evening went to preach out in the bars, preaching at night. And then Sunday morning we were there for service, and actually had someone show up from the bar to the service Sunday morning. So that's a little. Brother Harvey came down and preached a blessed message Sunday morning. So we had a blessed week. So I just thought I'd give everyone a little bit of an overview of what the Lord is doing. And so thank you for all of you who participated. There were people there from Canada. There were quite a few from Ohio. There were quite a few from here. Brother Calvin and Sister Debbie and Sister Jewel were there. And then there were people there from Kentucky, Michigan, Tennessee, Wyoming, Canada, Ecuador. So we had quite a selection of people, so it was good. So, yeah, getting on here with the message here, the Lord willing, that I want to share that the Lord has laid on my heart. I feel like Brother Elton laid the groundwork for my message this morning, so I want to thank you for that. So the message today that the Lord laid on my heart is one that I haven't heard much teaching on. It possibly may be because it's a more difficult subject to teach on. And so I'm going to put the title up on the board here. The perfect match or a mistint. And maybe the title doesn't make a whole lot of sense now, but hopefully by the end of the message it will. So this morning I'm going to be looking at five different words that are found in the Bible and look at different passages in the scriptures with these five different words in them. And we will find they all have a same or similar meaning and make application for us. And so I'm just going to put these words up on the board here for those of you who are not able to see. The first one is example. The next one is ensample. And the next one I have is pattern. The next one I have is form. And then the fifth one is fashion. So as you read through the scriptures, you will find these five words. And as you look up the meanings of them in the vines, you will find that they share the same Greek word in some passages. And that number is, if you want to do your own study, is number 5179. And they would all have a very similar meaning. And it one of the... I'll just read it here. A blow, to strike, an impression, the mark of a blow, the impress of a seal, the stamp made by a die, a figure, image, a form, a mode. So for example, if I take a hammer and beat this pulpit, there would be an impression made, right? It's made by a blow. It's there. It's there. It's there. It's basically going to be there forever, that stamp, right? It's a... It's made, it could make a pattern, it could make a seal, a stamp made by a die. It's going to let a pattern on this pulpit. It's going to let a print, another word that is similar that I didn't use, is print. You know, Thomas says that he won't believe that Jesus is risen except he puts his hands in his... the print of his hand, you know, and feels a nail print. The example that we have of these five words, and so it's an image, it's a figure of, you know, an example is a figure, you know, that we look up to, a figure that we can follow. You know, not all examples are good, you know. Another meaning is, you know, for example, also is that an imitation to follow or an example as of a warning. So an example can be an imitation to follow or an example as a warning. For example, you have in Jude verse 7 about Sodom and Gomorrah were to made an example of the suffering of eternal vengeance. The scripture says they were made an example. It was a blow given, and it's an example that's set forever that they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, the scripture says. So example is also a copy. whether imitation or warning. The children of Israel, we have 1 Corinthians 10. They were an example set up as a warning for us. But good examples you want to imitate and follow. You have ensample, and it has a very similar meaning. You have a paint sample. You walk into a paint store, say like Sherwin-Williams or Lowe's or Walmart. You go down the aisle there and you pick out the color you want. You take it to the counter and they copy it. They make that exact. It's an example. And so, and they get this can of paint and they put it under the tint machine. They push in their numbers. But sometimes what happens, the nozzles that all these tints flow out of together plug, and then all of a sudden you didn't get the right mist tints, and then when they dry it, it doesn't match the card that you hand it, and all of a sudden it becomes a mist tint, right? It becomes a mist tint. It's not matching up to the paint sample. It's not right. And it gets rejected. It's not the perfect match. And so, to the paint sample that you just gave them. And then the next word, you have pattern. It's to copy. It's to trace. You know, our children sometimes take a picture and a piece of paper and they copy it. They trace it. You know, how many of you sisters sew your dresses? How many of you use a pattern? I'm sure all of you do. Are there any of you that just wing it without a pattern? How many of you would dare to do that? Any of you? Why? Because the reason you don't just wing it, you just don't start cutting, is because you will come up with something that is completely different than what you desire. It's going to be a mistint. It's going to be rejected. And so form, you have the word form. The metaphor is that of a cast or frame into which material is poured. Molten material is poured so as to take shape. And we have an example of this is concrete. Some of you pour concrete. What would happen if you would try to pour a concrete wall without no forms? It'd be a mess. Or a sidewalk. You try to pour a sidewalk. But what happens, you know, it goes into that form and it gets hard and it sets up. You know, the gospel is the mold. Those who are obedient to its teachings become conformed to Christ. And so we'll see as we go through scriptures, we'll see these words in different scriptures. You become conformed. Fashion. What do you think when you think of fashion? This world has what we call fashion models, right? Their goal is to get to people to follow their examples. You know, we already heard Brother Elton share, you know, Nike, you know, the sports players have taken you take that and have made it very popular. And, you know, fashion models of men and whoever have worn those shoes to advertise them. If I remember back, you know, a basketball player named Michael Jordan was used to advertise those Nike shoes. You know, everybody wanted one because he wore them. They wanted to follow his example. And so they are role models to the world that the world looks up to. And, you know, Noah in the ark, it says, Genesis 6:15, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. Again, we see, or you could use the word pattern, but the word of God used, this is the fashion, and then it goes on and gives the dimensions and the length and the height and everything therein. And so the word fashion in the Bible is a good word, and it's also a bad word. Or a word that, not a bad word, but a word that can go either way, as all these can go. You know, there can be a bad example, there can be a good example, there can be a bad example, there can be a good, and so on. So the word fashion in the Bible, we think of fashion, our mind automatically goes to this world. But as we look in the Bible, it can be a good word. And so hopefully by the end of this message, I want to encourage each one of you to be a fashion model for the kingdom of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. One more quick verse here that I'm going to read here in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Philippians with this word fashion. This is talking about the return of Christ. It says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" Here's a fashion that we want to be a part of and participate in, that it may be fashioned. You know, this vile body, it's gonna disappear. It's gonna dissolve someday. It's gonna turn to dust, like the scripture says. But you know, by God's grace, it's gonna be when I resurrect and meet Christ in the air, it's gonna be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And so that's a day that we're looking forward to. So I just wanted to show you that verse there. So for a scripture reading here, Philippians 3:17, Paul says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." So Paul is telling the Philippians here in this verse, I am the example. I am the ensample. I am that little paint-colored card that you take up to the countertop and have your paint mix. I am that ensample to follow. He says, my life is a paint sample that your life is supposed to match up to. Here he says, brethren, be followers together of me. And so my life is a pattern to trace and copy. That's what he's telling us. My life has been molded into the form of Christ. I am the fashion model for you to imitate. And so, you know, in today's world, for example, you know, people, as you go about life, you see people who are, they are trying to look up to sports heroes. There, people try to imitate their favorite music artists, Hollywood stars. They mark them, and they try to imitate them, and they follow them. You hear that all the time as you're out and about. They imitate the clothing they wear, the shoes they wear, the hairstyles they wear. People imitate playing basketball in their yard, they're imitating their hero's moves and their shots, everything. They're imitating them because they mark them and they're trying to become like them. And so they watch them. They spend hours watching them and observe, and they follow because they want to be like them. And so the Apostle Paul here, he says here, mark them which walk so. And then we go to 2 Thessalonians, over a couple pages, chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 through 9. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." There's a mistint. You know, they're not walking as Paul walked. "For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." And so Paul is saying here that he is an ensample for you to follow us. And then we turn to, and so we are also supposed to make examples ourselves examples to follow. Notice that he says, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. You know, most of us would have a hard time, you know, to say here what Paul said. You know, and that's what makes this message maybe a little difficult, you know, for someone to preach, and maybe that's why we don't, you know, that, okay, Paul is standing here or is writing this, you mark me and follow me. We have a hard time to say that about ourselves. You know, I'll admit that. But, you know, but that's what he's saying. You mark me and follow me. Notice, he says, we make ourselves ensamples. We match up to our ensamples and then for others to look to. It's a beautiful thing as we look at in the scriptures. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So Paul's lifting up his life. You know what we were like. And then verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so, verse 6 here, Paul is saying, followers of us by the Lord, and by doing so, they became the perfect match to the paint chip, you could say. Paul is saying, my walk is in Christ Jesus. My walk in life resembles Jesus Christ. You find a man or woman, back to our text there in Philippians 3, he says, you find a man or a woman who walks as I walk. We have his example through the scriptures, and you mark that person. He says, you mark him. Put a big check mark on his back, and he says, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. And as we look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, they were doing this with the Apostle Paul. And verse 7 says, you know, Paul is saying his walk, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received much affliction, with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples. So Paul's writing to the Thessalonians here that they were following his example, and now they match up to the perfect example that he is, and they're not a mistint. They're the perfect match. And that's so it's a high calling that you and I have. We are, let that person be your fashion model. Let that person be your ensample. Follow their pattern of life. You know, find men and women today who are walking with Christ and mark them. You know, whether we know it or not, we do look up to someone. All of us do. Young people, even us older ones, you know. We look up to people, whether we want to admit it or not. And, you know, people have an impact on our life. But we should examine their life like Paul encourages, you know, here in Philippians chapter 3. You know, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. That paint chip, you're holding it up. It's a perfect match. Mark it. Put a check mark on him. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word conversation means the walk of life. That word conversation does not mean, many times in the scripture, does not mean talking as we take conversation today. It means their walk of life. Considering the end of their walk of life. Consider how they walk. Now let's continue to read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 here. Here we have the mistints. They are not resembling the paint sample. They are not following the pattern and example. verse 18. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." I don't know how many of you remember Matthew's opening here a couple weeks ago, but he read this verse and said, and shared with us how this word "mind" means affection. Their affections were on earthly things. And so I just want to, there's no resemblance to the ensample here. It looks completely different. I want to point out the difference. It says they mind earthly things. And verse 20 here, here's the difference. Paul says, "For our conversation," or our walk, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's saying, my walk is in heaven. You know, his walk, that perfect paint sample that you take up there, and it matches perfectly, the perfect match. His walk was in heaven. His life showed that he cared about the lost, like we sang this morning and heard about. You know, his life showed that he cared. His affection were things above. He was not caught up with the things of this life. Yes, we just read he provided for what he needed, but his ultimate goal was to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and advance the kingdom of God. And that was his heart. He did provide, but yet his heart was for his conversation. His walk was in heaven. Everything about Paul's life was with purpose. It was showing that he was bound for the promised land. He wasn't caught up with the things of this life. His mind, his affection was in heaven. As the scripture says in Colossians 3, "Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth." And so his walk showed that his affections are on things above. And I encourage each one of you, you know, you find a man or a woman who walks like that and mark them and follow them, the scripture says. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we find this word "conform." "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This word "conform" is the same as "fashion" in the vines. It's the same same Greek word. It's meaning being outwardly conformed to the things of this age, and is contrasted with being transformed or transfigured inwardly by the renewal of the thoughts through the Holy Spirit's power. So again, you know, that word "be not conformed to this world" means, the vines gives this, being outwardly conformed to the things of this age. And that's where I shared that Brother Elton this morning prepped, laid the groundwork for my message. You know, this morning, are we being outwardly conformed to the things of this age, and not being, you know, defying the gods of this world? And so, I just want to encourage you, young people here, that you would find men and women who are transformed inwardly by the Holy Ghost, and mark them and follow them, considering the end of their faith. There's a tendency for young people to look to young people who are being outwardly conformed to the things of the present age because they want to fit in and not be different, like Brother Elton challenged us. The things of this present age have a tendency to creep into the church, sometimes ignorantly. People don't... And with that, I would just like to touch on a subject here, you know, and I'm sharing this that we would look to our ensamples and patterns and our forms and fashions and not look to the world through their examples and ensamples. You know, we are living in a world today where there is gender confusion. People don't know if they're male or female anymore. Parents are even going so far as not getting a birth certificate for their children so that when the children come to a certain age, they can decide what they are, whether they are male or female. And it sounds like confusion, but in order to accommodate this gender confusion, the fashion industry is making, you know, today, gender-neutral shoes. They're making gender-neutral shirts. They're making gender, gender-neutral haircuts. These are the things of the present age, and you see these things that are gender-neutral creep into the church. Brother Elton shared about going against the culture. Children of Israel, they're going against the gods of their time. But in time they assimilated into the culture that they were in. But God wants us to open our eyes today and defy the gods that are surrounding us too. And so, I'm going to make myself vulnerable here and sharing what I'm sharing. You know, recently I saw on a church calendar, a couple with one child, and the whole family, including their children, are perfect, wearing perfectly matching gender-neutral shoes. You know, that brings confusion. Completely matching men's, and it, as I see that, it goes through me because their ensample, their paint chip is not doing that. Their example is not doing that, And so my encouragement is that men and young men, you wear manly shoes. You know, we live in a culture today where shoes are being made gender neutral, and they can go either way. But there are manly shoes, and we should wear manly shoes and be masculine. Sisters wear feminine shoes. Many of the women's today borderline cross into masculinity because we are living in a society that is catering to the gender confusion. And so I just encourage you, what do your ensamples wear? What do your patterns wear? What do your fashion models wear that you're supposed to be looking up to? And so, next one, this world is... they have what they call gender-neutral haircuts. Young men, I encourage you, wear manly haircuts, where there's no question, where you don't need to, somebody needs to look at you and wonder, where's that person gone? Some of the haircuts you see among us, the so-called Anabaptist churches where you have to put in the gel and the hairspray to keep in the air, fall under the category of gender-neutral. If you just Google gender-neutral haircuts, and you will see haircuts that you see creeping into the churches today. And so I encourage you, we need to defy the gods like we heard this morning. What kind of haircuts are your ensamples wearing, your patterns, your forms, that you're supposed to be looking up to? Does it match your ensample or your pattern, or is it a mistint? Another one is gender-neutral clothing, shirts for men. With that, turn me to with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 11. Here's where John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus, asking if he was the one that should come. And verse 7 says, or if they should look for another. Verse 7 says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. That word soft is the same word as in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, which means effeminate. It's the exact same word. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so it's serious here, you know. It says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we need to defy the gods of our age today. We need to show clearly that we are the children of God and not to give in. Notice where they are in the world. They're in king's houses. They're not in the kingdom of God. And so I just encourage each one of you to seek God and to what would God have for us? And so we as men, we shouldn't be wearing gender-neutral shirts. You know, for example, shirts with palm trees and polka dots are feminine. And in the world, they're making them gender-neutral. For example, here, the word polka actually means, it actually is a Polish word, which is, for Polish, it's a woman. Polka actually means woman. And so, translated into the English, woman or girl. You know, it says polka dots, they are playful, whimsical, and downright chick. And so, I just encourage you, you know, also, another thing, it says polka dots are widely associated with feminism and woman's fashion, though they are increasingly seen in men's wear as well. Historically, they were more prevalent in women's clothing, but now they are found in a variety of styles for men and women. Polka dots have a strong association with femininity, often appearing in dresses and skirts and feminine clothing items. They are playful, whimsical, and downright chic. And so I just encourage you, you know, this might be new to some of you, but let's be aware of the gods that America has and that we are. Let this be educational. You can do your own research, as Brother Elton shared. Do your own research, you know. Personally, you know, he shared about Nike. You know, I've known these things, and we as a family, we will not buy Nike shoes for some of those reasons. And there's so let's defy the gods of this world. Let's not participate, because we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are also certain colors that are feminine. For example, purple and pink. Back years ago when we went to Remnant, I was doing some work for a family that came from a non-plain background. And it was winter and it was cold. And in the winter time, I like to wear something underneath my pants to help keep the cold out. I long johns. That's right. I wear some long johns, but I don't know why, but I had a purple pair of all things. And one day as we were working there, the bottom of it slipped out of the bottom of my pants, and they saw it, and they started laughing at me because I'm wearing feminine clothing. And I'll never forget it. You know, I learned something that day. And so I just share these things, you know. The world knows these things. But sometimes we are ignorant. And so, you know, purple and pink and some of those shirts, those are feminine colors. And so, you know, and so I just encourage you, what is your pattern, your fashion, your examples? What, look to them. Don't let, you know, I don't think it's proper for men and women to be wearing matching shoes. If my wife be standing up here wearing matching shoes, we would all, you guys would laugh at us, right? But see, it's the world is pushing for gender neutral. And, you know, these things I see in creeping into the churches. And so I just want to make us aware of these things. They may seem small. You know, but these things that may seem small to you, small things lead you to somewhere. Back in, you know, in Allen County where we grew up, we were converted in 2004. In 2011, we moved to Ohio. In the 7 years that we were there, there was a young man there. He was a blessing. He led the singing. He had openings. He had children's lesson. But, you know, he had a feminine air about him. Today, he left the faith and is a homosexual. See, small steps lead you somewhere. And so, you know, years ago, we were preaching at a college campus one day, and there were three of us there, and we had a large crowd. And there was another brother preaching, and the crowd was there. And this other brother stepped in to take a turn because the brother that was doing it was getting tired. And his brand of shirt he had on, it was a Goodwill shirt. He had no idea. But, you know, the crowd tore him to pieces that day because of the shirt brand. The world knows because it had its that brand had its ties to homosexuality. And so we need to be aware. I'll never forget it. Because I know it, I won't even buy that shirt at Goodwill because of what I witnessed that day. And it was a Chaps brand, CHAP. It had a logo on it, and it was a modest shirt, but they tore him to pieces. The world knows. They know. And so I encourage you, follow your example. Follow, you know, don't walk ignorantly through this world not knowing. Jude verse 7, we have someone who's been made an example as in warning. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, these gender-neutral things should be strange things to the people of God. We shouldn't be using the world's patterns and fashions. There shouldn't be any question in our walk with the things that we wear and our hairstyles. There shouldn't be any question. You know, if it's borderline, you know, stay away from borderline. We have an example in 2 Kings that I want to turn to. 2 Kings chapter 16. We have King Ahaz here. I'll start reading in verse 1 here. It says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old, he was a 20-year-old man, was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. So we have David, his pattern. He had David's example. But, you know, we're going to see that Ahaz was a mistint. He wasn't the perfect match to David, his father. David was his pattern. David was his example. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire. You know, where did he get this? He picked this up from the heathen nations around him. The gods, they offered their children in the fire. And King Ahaz here did the same thing. He caused his son to pass through the fire according to the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incenses in the high places on the hills and every green tree. And then we jump down to verse 8. He took silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. You know, he was asking the king of Assyria to come fight these people for him, and he took him presents out of the Lord's house and gave it to him for his pay. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. Rezin was the king of Assyria. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus, and King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. So after the king of Assyria took these people captive, you know, Ahaz went up there and he looked at the altar. And he took the fashion and the pattern of this altar and then sent it back to his high priest. You build me one just like it. You know, but, you know, we're not to do that. He went to the world and fashioned their pattern and their example of the altar that God told him they were to get rid of. You know, we shouldn't be taking in the patterns and the fashions of the world. And so I just, and God was not pleased with the man. And then Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz and came from Damascus. And when the king was come down from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And so I just encourage you to not to take in the things of this world, but look to your examples, look to your patterns, look to your forms, look to your ensamples, and don't be a mismatch or a mistint, but the perfect match. You know, your sisters with head coverings, look to your ensamples, your patterns, and don't be a mistint. You know, First Peter chapter 5, verse 3, very familiar verse, says that, and I don't believe that this is just, you know, the elders who have been ordained, but there's other elderly people here. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. The elder people in the congregation are supposed to be that ensample that you can look at and you can be a perfect match or you can be a mistint. Be a perfect match. The reason you look to your example and pattern so that you yourself become a perfect match so that you are an example to others. 1 Thessalonians, I already read this. I want to read it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. God, you know, has a principle in place that he wants to pass Christianity along, not just through his word, but also in deed and in action. He wants you, each one of you, to look to those who are following Christ as Paul did, so that you become that perfect match that others can look up to. God always wants a people. And so here it says, and ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so God you know, wants you to look at that and sample, and you follow that, and then guess what? You become the perfect match, just like that gallon of paint to the paint guard card. You're not a mistint. In 1 Timothy 4:12, very familiar passage, we have Timothy, a young man. First Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I want you to notice here, Paul addresses Timothy to be an example inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. He's telling Timothy to be the pattern that others can look up to. Be the example, you know, to be that form. Jesus Christ can be seen in you. To be the fashion model people can imitate in a godly sense. You know, their conversation, again, in his walk, the words that he speaks. And then also in charity, in his spirit. And in his faith, be an example of your faith, rooted and grounded. A pattern, Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. We have another couple verses here. He says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Then in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. In all things, he says, not just a few things, but in all things, every area of your life. He says, in showing thyself a pattern, a chip, paint chip, that can be looked up to in all things, he says, a pattern of good works. Romans 6. Verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Notice the form of doctrine. That doctrine is set in that form, just like concrete is set and gets hard. That doctrine is not going to change. It's going to stand today, yesterday, and forever. It's going to, you know, by the form of that doctrine, the Word of God is forever set. It's going, by the power of the Word of God, men and women are going to be cast into hell. By the power of God, men and women are going to be in heaven. And so the word of that form of doctrine, as I read the description, it's a form, it's a pattern, you know, and that pattern is the same. That doctrine is the same today, yesterday. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is set. There's no changing. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he says, and if you don't fall upon that rock is going to roll up on you and crush you. It's a form. It's set. That pattern is set. That example is set. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to that form, that pattern. Hold fast to it. Of sound words, he says. Hold, don't let go of it. In Ezekiel chapter 43, couple verses. We have God showing his glory to Ezekiel here. Now start reading in verse 1, maybe read the first 11 verses. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And I should back up here. What I want to say, notice they're getting back to the pattern. They're getting back to the form. They're getting back to the example. God is showing Ezekiel his glory. Verse 2, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know, we want the glory of the Lord, right? We heard about it this morning, Brother Elton. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. My holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcass of their kings in their high places, in their settings of their threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom, the carcasses of their kings, far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou, son of man, show the house of Israel that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, notice if there's repentance, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the goings out thereof, the coming in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. Notice that, you know, if they're going to repent, show them. I didn't count how many times of forms and patterns. Show them these forms, that they may keep the whole form thereof and the ordinance thereof and do them. And so the word of God, the form of sound words, you know, that we may keep them and do them. So back to, in closing, back to Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. And so be the perfect match and not a mistint. Remember, the mistints get rejected by the customers. And on the day of judgment, in a closing verse, there's going to be mistints. Matthew chapter 7, read a couple verses there in closing. They're going to be mistints. They're not going to be the perfect match. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice, they're mistense. They're not the perfect match. In verse 24, we have the perfect match. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. You know, building your house upon the rock, that solid form, that pattern, that ensample, that example, you know, that we see in the scripture as if Paul walked. And Paul says, you know, follow men that walk that way. Follow women that walk that way. Mark them. Follow them. Be like them. Imitate them. Let them be your fashion model. Let them be your guide. Let them direct you. Don't let the world, this world wants to direct you too. They want to be your example. They want to be your ensample. But if you don't want to be a mistint, in the last day where I read, follow the examples and you'll be the perfect match. So thank you for listening. God bless.